Tune in to Bobo 89.1 every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon for a candid discussion about breast cancer.
Someday, pink will just be a color, not a ribbon to remember, a best friend or a mother.
It's the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk. Each week we will explore a range of topics, from warning signs and symptoms, early detection and treatment options, to post-treatment discussions about wellness and mindfulness after cancer. Hear from the support staff at the Breast Cancer Foundation, expert physicians, and survivors. Listen as we gather around the table for Pink Table Talk every Saturday at 11 a.m. on Bobo 89.1. Welcome to the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk, where we will have an upfront conversation about breast cancer. We will explore a range of topics from early warning signs and diagnosis to survivorship. Hear experts, survivors, and the most respected physicians right here on Bobo 89.1.
Welcome to the Pink Table Talks. The aim of this show is to have local women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer to tell their story, really, as an inspiration and also information about what maybe to do, what not to do, if you're worried or diagnosed with breast cancer. Just a quick recap about the Breast Cancer Foundation. We were formed in 2009. After one of my directors, Kim Lund, his late wife, Brenda, was misdiagnosed at 33 years of age. And sadly, by the time she was diagnosed, she'd gone to stage four and she did pass away at 36. So Kim has made it his mission in his life to get the Breast Cancer Foundation formed, and not only to raise awareness about breast cancer, and especially here in the Caribbean, also to help anyone who is diagnosed with breast cancer and help them on their day-to-day journey. And that's exactly what we do as part of our wellness program. There's many, many services in that wellness program that help anyone basically in any way that we can, so that they not only get through their journey, which is never easy, but we're also very realistic and know that once that journey started, it never ends really. So we're there forever. Anybody can turn to us whenever that they feel that they need help and assistance. So I'd like to welcome today two wonderful ladies. Miss Amika, would you like to introduce yourself first?
I am Amika Scott, and I'm a two-time breast cancer survivor.
Thank you, Amika. And Angela?
I'm Angela Scarlett, and I'm a survivor. This has been my first encounter with it, but I'm happy to say that I'm doing very well now. I'm in remission.
Fantastic. Okay, so, Amika, I wanted to start with you. If you want to give us, just going back to that very first diagnosis and what led up to that and your pathway and what your experience was here in Cayman.
2009, I noticed I have a bloody discharge from my nipple. And I went to Georgetown Hospital and they did all the tests, but they said the ducts were blocked. So I was put on medication. But it get worse, and I went back and they did a thorough check. They found out that it was cancer underneath the breast. I did all the necessary arrangements and to do surgery. But before I did the surgery, I asked the surgeon, could you please remove both breasts? And he said, no, he can only remove one. So I go along with the one breast. I survived that for 11 years. On every year I have to go and do mammogram. And unfortunately, when COVID hit, it was time to do my mammogram. I was diagnosed with cancer in the surviving breast. And I said, Oh, my God. I asked the doctor to remove both breasts, and he told me no, and it come back in the other breast. But you know what I did? I request him to remove the breast. When I went in to see him, he told me, Miss Amika, when I saw your name come up, I said, look at that. She asked me to remove both breasts. So in 2019, I have to take the other breast off. Here I am, breastless. I wear a prosthesis. I do not choose to do reconstruction. Reconstruction is for younger people. At my age now, I will go with the prosthesis. And at times, I go without prosthesis. Thanks to the Breast Cancer Foundation, they informed me of what I need to do, what I need to get done. Unfortunate for me, the last breast, I guess he removed it thinking that I was going to do construction. And so I have to see a plastic surgeon, Dr. Dancy. I did 4 surgeries to correct that one breast. But I'm grateful to God I'm still alive. And thanks to the Breast Cancer Foundation, again, they walk the walk with me and they talk the talk with me. Here I am, surviving. At the moment, I am on medication. The first diagnosis I had was to do 12 chemos. The second diagnosis, I did 4 chemo. And that was the one who threw me off my feet. It did me real bad. But thank God I survived it still, and here I am again. I am now on medication for 5 years. And I'm going strong. If you see me on the road and I don't tell you that I'm a cancer survivor, you would not know. I talk, I laugh, I give the most jokes. My head was always bald, so you can't know that I'm a cancer survivor. I'm still going with the bald head. This is me. And who know me, they know me for what I am. I am the life of the party.
I can definitely concur with that, Ms. Amika. You have been a massive cheerleader for so many of our ladies. You really have.
I totally agree.
Despite going through your own battles.
Yes.
You've always been there for other people.
Yes, ma'am.
I totally agree.
I know we're going to talk further about you and just basically life after breast cancer, Amika. But Angela, I wondered if you wanted to just tell us how it was for you. When were you diagnosed and how were you diagnosed?
Okay, thanks, Jeanette. In 2015, I noticed that my nipples were itching, especially around my monthly cycle. But my left breast continued to itch significantly more even after my cycle was completed. And that led me to say, okay, I'm going to do a mammogram. And I'm going to do a 3D mammogram. So having done that, after discussions with my gynecologist, everything was clear. Everything was good. But I still had the itching of the nipple. And so I started reading. Lots of people don't like Google. But I read a lot of stuff on Google. Relevant to the symptoms I was having, and that led me to think something is definitely going on. My gyno referred me to a breast specialist at Georgetown Hospital. I went to see him, and he said I just had eczema of the nipple. And so after about 4 visits with the breast specialist, I got an appointment to see the dermatologist. Having met with a dermatologist, she took a look at it and she said, I asked her, I said, are you thinking Paget's cancer? And she said, yes. And I said, are we going to do a biopsy? And she said, yes. And having done the biopsy, this was in 2016, it was confirmed that it was cancerous. And yes, I was disappointed because I'd seen the breast specialist And he was so confident that there was nothing cancerous there. And even though I'd done ultrasounds, he did not think it was necessary to do a biopsy. But thankfully, having done the biopsy, had the diagnosis confirmed, or had my suspicions confirmed. Surgery date was scheduled with the same specialist, and I told him essentially that I would like to remove both breasts, because in my mind, if it's breast cancer and I still have a breast remaining, then chances are it will reoccur. And he was hesitant, and he said, no, he doesn't think the insurance company would allow him to do that. But I told him, I insisted, I said both of them had to be done. And he did schedule a lot of things I needed to do in preparation for surgery. Having done those things, and I had some questions, I decided to reach out to him. When I tried to locate him, he was not available. He was on vacation, and he would only be back at the hospital on the morning of my surgery. I did not think that that was enough, because if you're going to be having seen me four times and you were not at all convinced that I had cancer, you did nothing to really, say, eliminate me having, eliminate the possibilities of me having said cancer, I thought he would have been around, so at least I could have had conversations with him. So anyway, I went, ended up going back to the dermatologist, and I said to her, I'm not going to allow this doctor to do it. Would you please see to that I get a referral to go to a Baptist? And yes, I did get a referral to go to Baptist. And when I went to Baptist, it was confirmed that I did have cancer. Prior to going to Baptist, one of the tests I did at Georgetown Hospital was just to make sure it had not spread to my lymph nodes. On arrival at Baptist, when they did the test, of course, it was already gone to my lymph node, and it was very active. So that led me to where I had did a double mastectomy with reconstruction at Baptist, and then I came back to Cayman for 6 rounds of chemotherapy. And when I came back, while I was trying to sort out getting the chemo scheduled and all of that, I met with Jeanette from the Breast Cancer Foundation. Because previously I knew there was a cancer foundation. I never knew about the Breast Cancer Foundation, but she presented very well. She was like a light at the end of the tunnel. The staff there is just very, very caring. Everybody was just so on board. Lots of information. Sorry. Lots of information. Lots of just holding of the hands. Just, yeah. In preparation, of course, the body and mind has to be on board, because it's like a holistic kind of approach. And Breast Cancer Foundation was able to provide me with like a nice massage. Maybe 2-3 weeks after my chemo. And mani and pedi on the days of my chemo, and my green juices, those were all arranged and were delivered to my house, because chemo really did the job on me. But I was prepared mentally to deal with it, but physically sometimes the body went really haywire. And they were very on board with talking to me, just making sure if I needed counseling, if I needed anything, they were there. So that was amazing, and I'm so appreciative of them. And even now, having completed my chemo, and I went back to the U.S. and I did 25 rounds of radiation at Baptist Hospital, and that gave me third-degree burns. When I came back, Breast Cancer Foundation was still like a home base for me. Everybody was still on board with information, just finding out how I'm doing, do I need anything. And it was just amazing. It was like that continued support that helped me to stay mentally focused. And having done radiation, I was given a medication called tamoxifen, and I started taking that from December of 2016, and I stopped taking it 2022 August. And that was supposed to make sure that there's no reoccurrence. But with every good medication, there are side effects. And unfortunately, I did have quite a few of those side effects, which led me to doing other surgeries. But overall, I'm in remission, and I am doing very well. And I'm just going to do one more checkup. And sometime in June of this year, I'll be doing that. But overall, the takeaway from this is we have to be our own advocates, and we have to know our bodies. We've had it longer than a doctor would have known us, and we know ourselves intimately, more intimately than anybody else. So in an event that something is off, you need to explore it, and do not stop exploring it until you are satisfied with the answers that you've gotten. And doctors are brilliant. Doctors are well trained, and I'm sure that they mean well, but they're human as well. So we have to make sure that we stay on point, we stay informed, and if we don't think we have enough information, we need to seek it out. Yes, and when we find out, then we know how best to continue with whatever treatment is recommended, and how to kind of embrace whatever else is coming with the treatment. Because for some people, like for me, I got like very huge doses because I asked the hard questions like, yes, I've got cancer. Are you able to cure it? And if I should just do the double mastectomy, what next do I need to do? Having done the double mastectomy, what about my lymph nodes? So they removed 20 of my lymph nodes because my cancer was quite aggressive. And had I not persisted, I would have died. That was my confirmed diagnosis was around March of 2016. Had I not insisted on getting that confirmation, I would have died by the August of 2016. So while something was rapidly damaging my body, my specialist had no idea, but I knew something was going on. Yes? So, like I said, we need to just stay on point, stay informed, and don't rule anything out. Because in my family, there is nobody else who's had cancer. And I've asked repeatedly. No one has ever presented with cancer in the family. But, yes, here I am. And as it relates to, like, was I taking care of myself? Was I overweight? How was my diet? How was I sleeping? Because all these things are factors that affect us. So I think I was on point. Most people who know me, they would say, oh, well, 80% of the times she ate properly, or 90% of the times she ate properly. But cancer does not discriminate. It comes in all shapes and forms, and all anybody in any genre. You can be a victim, I don't like to use the word loosely, but we can all be recipients of this uninvited guest, if you will.
You're listening to the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk on Bobo 89.1.
That is so, so true, Angela. Mm-hmm. And I think what you both highlighted there, I know, Mr. Meeker, it was a few years before. I just wish that you had been listened to back in the day. You, Angela, you had to fight every step of the way.
Yes,
every
I
step
did.
Of
I
the
did.
Way to make sure you got the treatment that you wanted, but also initially to get that diagnosis.
Yes.
Had you taken that specialist view on those four visits, and just said, okay, that's fine, but you knew there was something wrong with your own body.
Definitely.
And that was what it's all about. And again, that's where the Breast Cancer Foundation can come in, because we have had ladies that have come in who think there's something wrong. They have been dismissed for whatever reason, be it too young.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be silly, it can't be that. There is no such thing as too young. The youngest, it's very, very rare, but the youngest breast cancer patient in the entire world was 3.
Okay.
As you know, about 4 years ago, there was a young girl, I think she was 7 in the US, who had a double mastectomy.
Yep.
It's very rare in children, thank God.
Yes.
But you can't rule anybody out, and we never do.
Right. We never do. Anybody who comes through our doors, we have to get those necessary checks until they feel sure.
Yes.
And that they're confident, and we're confident that they are fine to go on.
Yes.
Because you know your own body.
Breast cancer doesn't respect the gender, because male could be...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we lost a friend from breast cancer, and man.
Yes.
You know, I think I feel I want to restart that campaign very shortly.
Yes.
On our social media, is to remind everyone that this is not just a woman's disease, that men do have breast cancer. They usually, sadly, their survival rate is way lower than women, because one, they don't think they can get it, and they ignore the symptoms, when it's actually their symptoms are probably highlighted quicker and able to see quicker than a woman, because they don't have the same breast tissue.
Right, they don't have the
same mass of breast tissue.
Right.
Yeah, but they can.
Yes.
We've, as you know, Amika, we've lost
a friend.
Yeah,
yes.
A friend.
Yes.
And we've got also other male breast cancer patients who are doing fantastic.
Yes.
One I can think of right off the bat, 20 years down the line, he's doing great.
Nice.
But it is about the same for women. It's that early detection and not ignoring those vital signs.
Yes.
And sticking up for yourself. And again, that's what we're here for. If you don't feel or that you are able to argue with the doctor, then that's what we're here for. Because the Breast Cancer Foundation, as well as everything else, the advocacy part is really strong.
Yes.
And we're there to fight your corner.
Yes, and it's so appreciated, because during my journey, I've learned that some women or some patients, once their diagnosis has been confirmed, it's as if they're kind of shut down. They're like finding it very hard to even accept that this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really reaching out or trying to capitalize on what treatments are available as soon as possible. So in taking time to really say, digest, if you will, what you were just told, there's where Breast Cancer Foundation kicks in and say, hey, we understand what you're going through. We'll help you to get there.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most amazing things that I think you guys are doing. It's championing for people who are, sometimes you lose your balance, if you will.
You lose your
footing when you're hit with that diagnosis, because you're living your life and thinking everything is fine. And then here, it's like, boom. So Breast Cancer Foundation is amazing. And much appreciated.
We all want to hear that when you go in, no matter what you're worried about. If the doctor says, oh, you're fine, even though you in your heart think, I'm not fine. But because they've said you're fine, you're like, oh, yay, I'm good to go.
Yes.
But you, something in the back of your mind knows.
Yes.
That you're not.
Well, as for me, when I noticed what was going on, I kind of figured it was cancer, because my family, the women in my family, it's all breast cancer. And I said to the doctor, tell me that it's breast cancer. And he said, no, I cannot tell you that until we do certain tests. So when he called me in, I said, what is it? The result is back. It is breast cancer. He said, yes. And I asked him, how soon can you remove the breast? But I would love to have two breasts removed. If I had known the Breast Cancer Foundation then, I could go in and talk with you people, but I didn't know about you as yet. So he said, I can only remove one. So I go with the one. And 11 years after, it hit the other breast.
And you had to go through it all again?
I have to overdo it again.
Yeah.
And he said, man was aggressive. The first one, they take out 13 lymph nodes. I didn't do radiation, thank God.
Okay.
But I did 1 year of chemotherapy.
Okay.
The last one, they did not. They said it wasn't in the lymph nodes. It was stage one. So he said, oh, you don't have to do chemo. But the oncologist insists he have to send the specimen away to get it tested to find out if I have to do chemo. The result come back that I have to do chemo. Yes. And I say, no, it's stage one. I'm not doing chemo. And he said, hold on a minute. And he called my son. And he explained everything to my son. And my son said, Mommy, do the chemo because we don't want to hear it come back again. I did chemo and here I am. But with the help of the Breast Cancer Foundation, they walk along with me. They take care of me. As Angela said, we get our juices, we get our money and our pedi. They do everything. You know, you can even go in and ask them for your vitamins. They send it to the GNC.
Yes.
You get your
gym memberships.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, because some of us still
still doing my chair yoga, girl.
Oh, well, there you go. Very good.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? It's once you throw your treatments, it's about the rest of your life.
And
staying as fit and healthy.
Yeah.
As you can.
Even the other day, I sent a lady there who is recently diagnosed. She WhatsApped me. She said, thank you, Miss Amika. Thank you. You know?
Yeah, I think what the Breast Cancer Foundation does is very, very thorough. You guys don't leave anything to chance.
No.
Once you are informed of something, you go above and beyond to make sure.
They even sit with you when you are doing chemotherapy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And the conversations are always so positive. It's not doom and gloom.
No.
It's just very, very, you guys are very comprehensive and in your whatever your contributions are, and much appreciated. And as you do your campaigns to sensitize the entire population about what you do and what's available and all of that, and early diagnosis is, and that cancer does not discriminate, mm-hmm. and you're right there to stand with the patient. It's just very good. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and money should never be the option or the block for getting yourself checked out,
right.
Because that's what we're here for as well.
Yes.
I realize that a lot of people are not even covered for the basic mammogram on their policies.
I must say thanks to Mr. Lund, who stepped out.
Yes, having
to organize to start this foundation.
Well, do you know when originally that very first gala, which I think was, well, I know it was in 2008. The money from his late wife's jewellery was auctioned. That was actually going to go off island to for research. And it was someone who approached him and said, hey, you know, it's great what you're doing. He said, but there's a lot of research going on. There's a lot of funding for that. He said, do you not realise that there are people on the island that need that money here because they can't even get through their treatments. They can't even afford the mammograms, the ultrasounds, or things like that, that money needs to stay here. And that conversation was what steered him to, within 12 months, the Breast Cancer Foundation was set up as a charity. And we went from there.
Yeah,
and that's why every single dollar that we raise stays here.
So the Breast Cancer Foundation, when you first do the surgery, they fit you with a bra. They give you everything when you go there. People don't know that the breast is gone.
Yes.
But, you know, you're still going to the hospital to do the dressing, you know, but you have breasts there.
Yes.
And then from that stage, they fit you with other bra.
Yeah.
Then they give you the real prosthesis. They even give you prosthesis to go swimming, girl.
Yeah.
And the swimsuit. And we have and the special swimsuit too.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Because and the gym. And the gym top as well.
Oh.
So, you know.
Excellent.
You can't. You know, we hear you because you want to get back to some kind of normality. If you haven't gone down the road of reconstruction,
yes,
then that is a barrier. That's a barrier for a lot of women. You know, the whole inspiration for wanting to get into the Grand Harbour Centre, which, you know, by the way, we are actually looking for a new place because we have outgrown that very small space. We're very grateful for that space.
Right.
We do have the only, we call it our little boutique, which is fully stocked with prosthetics and bras and swimsuits and gym.
And wigs.
Yeah, and wigs. Everything is there. We're the only one in the Caribbean to have that facility here.
Oh, wow.
We're very proud of that.
That's amazing.
But we are desperately running out of room. And the cold caps at the hospital.
Yes, I was a beneficiary of the cold caps.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
But even if, you know, the cold caps are very successful.
Yes.
Done properly, they are very successful.
Yes.
One of the hospitals, the HSA, has got the electronic ones. And again, you'd probably lose a little bit more hair than you would with the manuals, which is at two of the other hospitals. Eventually, everybody will go on to the electronic, but they are very good.
Okay,
people,
nice.
You will lose up to 50% of your hair for sure, but because, yes, but to look at an individual who's going through a chemotherapy, you can't tell because it's all over.
Right.
So they are a really good thing. I was amazed in 2016 when one of the first ladies that didn't want to lose her hair because she had young children, and I suggested the cold caps, and she said, "What's a cold cap?" I was like, "What? Oh my goodness! How can that be when they've been in the UK for at least 40, 50 years?"
Wow.
So anyhow, that was the plan. That was the start. Yes. Within a month of that conversation, we had the caps here. We had a trainer, and that lady actually did go through her whole chemotherapy, and she didn't, you know, she did actually speak at our gala.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks after her chemo finished, and you can't tell. You couldn't tell. And for her, that was really important.
Right.
She had very young children, and she didn't want them to be scared by mummy not having any hair.
Yeah.
And we were glad to be able to do that. And, of course, now that's available at all the chemo units here. But for the bra room, my inspiration was a young woman who said, "Oh, don't worry about me. I'm good. My husband's socks, I stuck them in my bra. I'm good." You know what? No. When this room is ready, which will be very soon, which was, you know, when we moved 3-4 years ago to Grand Harbour, you, my dear, are my first customer. So it's not that there's any charge for any of our services, but you are my first customer. "Oh, no, I'll be fine. I'm good. Don't worry." You know, she walked into that office. She went into the room. She got fitted out. She walked out like a different woman. She literally, yes. I don't even think she walked. She flew out. She wasn't even not touching the ground. She was so thrilled.
Yes.
That was the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
And that, you know, cemented the fact that we did the right thing in that investment, which, bear in mind, you know, the Cancer Society give out, we gave them money each year for many, many years to have women measured after their surgeries and go, and then they had to send for the prosthetic and the bra.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you now that the cost for that was less than $3,000 a year back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And obviously we've got our own room now and it's fully stocked, and the cost for that room, I'm happy to say, because I know that it's being used, is over $30,000 a year.
Wow.
Which just shows you how that has gone.
Yes.
And that's what we're there for. It's anything. And it's the same with the lymphedema. Where you said,
right. Yes.
And you both having your lymph nodes removed.
Yes.
There was no real information about what that might cause for your body.
Yes.
What you needed to do to look after yourself for the future.
Yes.
And again, that came about because, I mean, you know, a lady who has actually passed now, but Phyllis. Mm-hmm. Phyllis was my inspiration for that. She had lymphedema, full blown.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know a lot about lymphedema back then. But again, this particular lady was my inspiration for having my board, who again were fantastic and created a grant system for anybody who was a physiotherapy and practicing here in Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
To apply for that grant, to be able to go off island and qualify in specialist lymphatic drainage and wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've maybe given 8 grants out now. So, again, there's 3 at HSA, there's ladies in private practice.
Yeah.
I should say Jess at Back to Health is our star.
Yeah.
She, you know, there's just no one on this island now should be suffering from lymphedema or not have that information before their surgery. And, of course, after their surgery as well. And ongoing, because lymphedema can strike any time, like immediately after surgery or 20 years down the line. You've always got to be aware to watch out for the symptoms.
Yes.
You know, any feeling or swelling in that arm, you've got to protect that arm so you don't have any blood drawn from it or any heavy weights in that arm. Generally, any kind of odd feeling that, you need to get to us. If you're not covered by your insurance, it matters not, because we will cover that for you and get you to be seen by the specialist and make sure that it never becomes the full-blown lymphedema.
You're listening to the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk on Bobo 89.1.
You know, after my last surgery, that side of the breast, the drainage had fell out and they didn't put it back. So every time I go for dressing, the doctor would have to come over, insert a syringe and to remove that fluid out. And the scar tissue oh, it healed everything, but that side of the breast was hard. And I suggested to Breast Cancer Foundation. And they said, we are going to send you to Jessica down.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Health, yes. World Gym.
Yeah.
She's amazing, but back to health.
Back to health.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen her
and
too.
And Jessica worked and she even ordered the beanbag. She consulted Dr. Dancy. She said, can I get a beanbag from Mr. Meek? And Dr. Dancy said, yes. So when I walk, the beanbag exercise.
Massages the spot. Yes.
Yes, Jessica's amazing. She's well in tune. She's very knowledgeable.
Yes.
And she knows exactly. I don't think she uses a one-size-fit-all kind of cap. She asks you, like, what's going on. You tell her, even though she would have had previous information, she will ask you just to see where you're at and discuss how she will treat you going forward.
Yes.
It's amazing, amazing, amazing.
And she went on that computer and she did some research and she said, well, Miss Amika, you doesn't have anything there in the lymph node. You're good. And she said, I reached this spot now where you have to continue to do a little massage yourself. Mm-hmm. But if anything should occur, come back to me.
Yeah.
And there I am.
Yes.
I do not go back to Jesse because I'm doing my thing and I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Thanks to Breast Cancer Foundation. Because I was getting massages at a place, you know.
I used to get one once a month prior to my diagnosis.
When I go to Jessica, I do not go back there.
No.
And I saw the lady who was with the massage and she said, how are you? You can come back. And I said, I'm fine because I know I'm going to Jessica.
Yeah.
I know I'm doing the chair yoga, which is another exercise. Have you tried the water aerobics too?
No, I haven't tried that.
I'm doing the chair yoga. I love that because we do a lot of stretching. So I'm good.
And we like that, by the way. Any form of exercise that suits that individual person.
Yes.
Even gentle walking. We do have a walking group.
I know you have a walking group. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Not, you know, vigorous exercise is not for everyone.
Right.
And we try and find something. Mr. Miki, you said the chair yoga is actually way more... And it takes a lot of energy, more than you would think, but you can take it at your own pace, and it suits you, and it suits a lot of our other ladies.
It's so good for you. Good for me.
Yeah.
For the elderly person.
Yeah, and by the way, people probably wonder why the money and the petty and think, yeah, that obviously, that is a treat to, if you feel a little bit low. What people don't maybe realize is that when you're having chemotherapy, it's pretty vital that your nails are well
Because the colour, you get this colour from chemo.
Yes. Yeah, Helen at Sparta Go, she's an expert.
Yeah.
She knows what she's looking at. She can help you and to avoid any infection. Because obviously if your nails start to lift, we know what can happen there. You've got no immune system.
Yeah.
An infection can very easily take over and make you extremely poorly. And then it can delay your chemo, and that's what we don't want.
Yes.
So, I've been through the nail loss. And when I was going to Helen, that time it was Nikki there, and she said, oh, Miss Amika, you're losing your nail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I lost 4 nails.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
2 on one and 2 on the other. And she found out Spartago.
Yeah, because she's aware of what to look for.
Yes, to look for, yeah.
And not to discredit any other nail technician and all of that. It's just people who are exposed to what goes on with breast cancer patients or cancer patients or people who are doing chemo, they know exactly what to look for as opposed to somebody else. They just might think, it's just that your nail is damaged, while somebody who is experienced with chemotherapy patients are able to say, no, and report that back to somebody to say, hey, I think, so-and-so is going on. Something is going on with this person, and then they can address it properly. So that's a very good thing.
Yeah,
and thanks to Mr. Lund.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Lund, for getting this started.
Yeah.
Thank you to Breast Cancer Foundation for continuing with it.
Mm.
And I'm sure every recipient of your services is very thankful.
Yes, and Miss Janet will believe in us. But I know she trained who is there.
Yes. Yes,
so
she has.
We will be in good hands.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure. It has been more than a pleasure.
I remember I came there and I was telling you guys there, maybe you don't remember. that something with my skin and I needed a special lotion. And the first thing you did, you pick up the phone and call the coconut oil lady. What do you have here that could help me? So what do you have that could help Miss Amika? Because her skin, blah, 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 whatever. And she said, I'm going to send a sample over to her. And she needs to try it. From ever since I've been getting my coconut oil and I'm using my coconut. And it's through the Breast Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, so many wonderful people on this island who are willing to help.
Yeah. I go to the Breast Cancer Foundation and I said, can I get a coconut oil voucher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very good that you guys address each element. Because the whole body has been affected. So if you didn't have dry skin before, chemo can, or your medications can, you know, present you with dry skin. And it's good that you guys have taken a holistic approach, not just the one point. You've looked at the entire body, the entire person. And for ladies who have chosen not to do reconstruction.
Like me.
Like Amika here, you are happy with wearing, yes, and that is good because, and some of us who are not happy with having the hair, we're happy with the wig, and Breast Cancer Foundation makes it all possible, so it is good.
We've got quite a lot now. I did buy a whole new load of wigs. I mean, the full catalogue's on the website.
We need to get low hair wigs to put me then.
Hey, it's nice to have a choice. If you feel like day, I'm feeling a long hair day.
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, and that's the day. And we've got all of those wigs.
Yes.
You just need to take a look at the website, I think, has come on leaps and bounds.
Yes.
Because it's all about here.
Yes.
You know, we do on the social media, again, when there's research or things like that, that I feel is important, people to know that goes on there too. But in the main, it is about here.
Yeah.
And living here in Grand Cayman, or the BRAC, of course, or any either of the sister islands,
mm-hmm.
and the help you can get here. Because that's the thing, you know, I see so many times, very recently, these last few days, when newly diagnosed, and those ladies, mainly ladies, obviously, come into our office, and it is the wide-eyed, deer in the headlights, oh, my God, and in complete shock as to what's happened to them.
Yes.
And that's where we have to come in to put our arms around them. That's the whole team. I've got a fantastic team.
Yes, you do.
To say, come in, you know, sit down, write.
Yes.
Let's see. Tell me your tale and then let's see what we can do to help. And let's just be there for you. Yes. And there's always that relief for me. See, they're walking out the door and I can see they're a little bit lighter. Yes, still scared, still thinking it's what's ahead. A little bit lighter, knowing that they are not alone.
Yeah.
And that we are going to be for them, there for them 100%.
Yeah. And you know the good thing, you let us socialize. We have time when we...
Yes, we'll get together. Monthly meetings that we used to have.
Like Christmas dinner.
Well, they're back on, you know, last Thursday of every month is going to be a support group.
Okay.
Pam has started up the art support therapy group.
Right,
what we need, ladies, and I'm putting this out there for anybody who's listening, we need a bigger premises.
Okay.
Because obviously, as you know, with the support group, we are restricted with the space we've got for the numbers.
Right.
So we're very ardently looking now for bigger premises. You know, we've been at Grand Harbour about 4 years and it's been wonderful. Believe me, it's been wonderful.
Yes.
But we desperately need to get a bigger place.
Yeah.
And we are looking. Because that will be better, because rather than restricting the support group to the first, say, 15 ladies that call and say, I want to come, we could then open it to everybody.
Right.
But don't every month. Week you have a lady who comes in and give the, is it the head massage?
Yes, that's Shirley. Bless her. Shirley, get the older more. She is fabulous. I mean, I'm from Blackpool in England. She's from Liverpool, just down the road.
Oh.
Yeah. So... Yeah, she comes on a Wednesday. That's her day off, by the way.
Oh, wow.
You know, and she gives her time and she does a couple of hours of 20-minute massages, hand, shoulder, neck massages.
Yeah.
And she's fully booked every week. But, you know, once we're on the WhatsApp group, you know, Pam will reach out and say, right, these are the time slots, ladies. What do you want? And everybody just books in. She's filled up within about half an hour.
I know, but too bad for us who have to go to work. We can't.
But again,
for those who are benefiting from it, that is good.
We just have that one small space for Shirley to set up in, and we could do so much more once we've got a bigger place.
Yeah. Well, I think now that you guys have, not now, I think because you guys are so established and it's clear how you are facilitating people who are in need in so many ways, I'm sure that there's somebody out there who has this space available, and I'm sure they'll reach out to you in no time.
You're listening to the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk on Bobo 89.1.
As you mentioned before, life after chemo, it's great for me. I do not have any obstacles. I'm living my life. I go about where I want to go. Although I'm a church lady, I don't go dance, anything like that. But I go where I want to go. I enjoy. At the moment, I'm still working. And I'm not feeling any pain. I'm not having any after effects. Maybe because I'm doing my little exercise.
Could be.
Nice, yeah. Never know.
Eating well?
Oh, yes. But sometimes, you know, the taste. But as when I was doing chemo, the nurse said the metal forks and spoon, she said use bamboo or plastic. So when I remember, I said, well, you know, the metal forks and spoon, along with the chemo medicine in your body, it gives a funny taste. So I try. My daughter-in-law buy me the bamboo thing. I don't use it. I use plastic. But every now and then I use my metal. But I eat. I eat well and I try to eat healthy. And to be honest, I do not leave out nothing. I eat everything.
Mika, you've got to live and you've got to have your treats.
Yeah,
you've got to have a treat.
Moderation is the way.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Somebody said, so you change your diet? I said, change my diet? I said, no. But in moderation, I don't want to do sugar. I get the sugar from the fruits.
Yeah.
So I don't do sugar.
I wonder if anybody knows, realize that people say, oh, I'm going to go start chemotherapy next week. So I'm going to go out, I'm going to have my favorite meal because I know that it might affect my taste buds. We all say, don't do that. Don't do that because it will affect your taste buds. And I'm telling you now, if your favorite meal is steak or, you know, shrimp or something like that, and you love that food, do not have it before your chemo because you'll never want it again. It will never taste the same again.
Right.
I said, you stick to your healthy foods. Save your favorite foods for when you're over your chemo treatments.
Yes.
And it'll still be your favorite.
The only thing I
so weird is it how many effects there are from chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. Nobody realizes and they go through it.
Yeah. It's, I think it's different with everybody, different for everyone. Losing the taste buds, and sometimes the most healthy of things makes you, just looking at it makes you,
you
nauseous.
Don't want it,
And then what comes with chemo, so the chemo fog. So that is where, you know, sometimes it's like you're a little bit lost. You're not quite sure what's going on. And then you get a call from Jeanette or somebody at Breast Cancer Foundation. Like, hi, I'm just checking on you. How are you doing today? And it's like, okay, you remember that voice. And it's like, okay. And then you just unload, and then if there's anything that you need, they just get it sent to you, or they come by, they pay you that visit, and it just makes things a lot easier. But it's like it's different for everybody. But having a support group with people who are experienced it or have seen all these things before, then they know how to, you know, help you through it. So, yeah.
And that's the one thing about my team as well. It is what you just said, Angela. It, one size does not fit all.
For sure. Yeah.
It's about us listening.
Yeah.
And then we then make a plan. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously we once one of the team members has spoken to an individual, then we'll group together and say, right, what is our best plan? What do we think? Mm-hmm. You know, we have Dr. Ginny Hobday as our medical advisor. So she is phenomenal, keeping us up to date with all the latest treatments. I mean, and it's coming so far. I genuinely believe we're just a few inches away from, you know, a cure. Mm-hmm. One of the doctors here on Ireland said to me not that long ago, and he's involved in research as well.
Okay,
and he just said, Jeanette, he said, it's coming, it's coming. He said, and I'm telling you now, he said, in the not too distant future, nobody will die of breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
He says, and I foresee no one will have to have chemotherapy.
Oh,
for the breast cancer, it will be a tablet. And I was like, thank God. Yes. You know, I know that you're speaking from experience. I know that you're involved in research. You know, and that's the day we all live for.
Yeah.
That is a day. And it has to be soon.
Yeah. Yes.
There's been so much research. It's gone on for so long.
Yes.
We're turning a corner. I mean, treatments, we know treatments are better.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the Oncotype testing, which can be done, and it's done at the same place in California that I know that the doctors here use. It's actually used by the NHS in the UK too.
Oh.
And what that does, instead of saying, I don't want radiation, or I don't want to take the tamoxifen or whichever,
mm-hmm.
They can give you a black and white, this is your chances of your cancer coming back if you do take
right.
it, and this is your chances of it coming back if you don't take it.
Right.
So that you, as the patient, can make an informed decision and not, I'm going to take a chance because I don't want to take it, or...
Right.
Or whatever, you know, it's that's how things are moving.
Yeah,
it's just getting better all the time. And now I had a lady in this last week, and she said she had seen two of the oncologists on Ireland, and she was going to see the third, and then she'll decide who was the best fit for her. Can you imagine? I mean,
wow.
That was like, wow, that is the best, because that's the choice of, for example, in the US that you do have.
Yes.
Patients can interview their oncologist and pick the right one for them. The fact that we've got that choice here, you know, and obviously, again, for the initial consultation, they may not be covered by the insurance. We can help with that because what we want is what's best for the patient.
Yes.
And if you feel that one oncologist is the best fit for you,
mm-hmm.
that's the one you want to go for.
Yes.
And just, I think it's fantastic that you have a choice.
Yeah, I agree with you, because sometimes you want to make sure that the questions that you have,
yes,
that your doctor is able to answer your questions.
Yeah.
Because that will then put your mind at ease. That will put your mind at ease. And at the same time, you know you're getting the best treatment that's available to you based on what you have.
You have to be confident in your team.
Yes.
But that's half the battle as well.
Yes.
Not just the treatments.
Yeah,
for sure. It is the mental part of your treatments and knowing that you're in great hands and feeling confident that you're in great hands.
Yes.
That's
super important. Yes.
Oh. Ladies, I wanted to say, well, thank you for sharing your story. I know that this is going to be of use to other women on this island.
I do hope so.
I'm grateful that you've come and been willing to talk about your journey.
We're happy that
you invited us.
Yes, and just saying to anybody or everyone who's listening, just get in tune with your body. And if you have any questions, you can speak to somebody at the Breast Cancer Foundation.
Sure.
And staying informed is one of the best things you can possibly do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Ms. Amika, Ms. Angel, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you too.
Anytime.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk. Make sure to listen next Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on Bobo 89.1. Tune in to Bobo 89.1 every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon for a candid discussion about breast cancer.
Someday, pink will just be a color, not a ribbon to remember, a best friend or a mother.
It's the Breast Cancer Foundation's Pink Table Talk. Each week we will explore a range of topics, from warning signs and symptoms, early detection and treatment options, to post-treatment discussions about wellness and mindfulness after cancer. Hear from the support staff at the Breast Cancer Foundation, expert physicians, and survivors. Listen as we gather around the table for Pink Table Talk every Saturday at 11 a.m. on Bobo 89.1.